All right, guys. Thanks, everyone, for holding for us for a second. I just want to thank everyone for being on the call today. Today we have Phil Martin. He is from 44 Business Capital, which is actually a division of Berkshire Bank. So, Phil, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, cool. At this moment, I really just kind of want to let you take it away if you want to introduce your company a little bit. Obviously, everyone knows you do SBA loans, but you can get into that, and then we'll do a quick Q&A.
Sure. Well, Meg, thanks for having me. And as Meg had said, my name's Phil Martin. I'm a loan officer with 44 Business Capital. We are a division of Berkshire Bank, which is about a $10 billion bank that's based in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Their focus is primarily the New England states. We are based in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, and essentially what we do is we're their SBA lending division. We focus on SBA 7A term loans and lines of credit that are anywhere from $350,000 up to $5 million. We lend to various different kinds of industries. We do manufacturing, distribution, retail. We'll do restaurants. We can do gas stations for the right deals, hotels, motels. Essentially, we're kind of a B-credit lender where our lending criteria is a little bit more flexible than the traditional bank as far as their SBA lending goes. All of our deals have a story, and I guess over the past year, Meg, you've sent me a couple deals that, you know, had various challenges, one of which we were able to get an approval on. Some of them, you know, were not that successful, but really we're a pretty liberal lender when it comes to SBA, as long as it complies with the rules of the program and the deal makes good common sense, we try to get it done. As far as the geography goes, we focus primarily in the Mid-Atlantic region. That would be probably North Carolina up through New York State. But for larger deals over $1 million, we have ability to do deals across the United States. So with that said, Meg, I don't know if you want me to elaborate on anything more as far as the types of deals, what we've done, you know, how we could help you guys, you know, place, you know, some loans that you're looking that could be a fit for SBA. You know, a lot of the challenges that lenders or borrowers that would look for an SBA loan have are it's either missing cash flow or collateral. In many cases, there are collateral shortfalls where the SBA comes in and guarantees a portion of the debt. That's probably, I would say, 75% of the deals we see where there's decent cash flow in the business, but it's lacking collateral. Tangible collateral. The main areas we focus on for our lending are owner-occupied real estate purchase or refinance, existing debt restructure. A lot of deals we see could be, you know, with a bank or a leasing company where they have equipment loans and they're on, you know, 5-year payouts and the cash flow is too strenuous for them. Being on a 5-year term, we look to stretch those payments out as long as possible, give them cash flow relief. Another area we focus on that you know, some of you may see are business acquisition loans, because many times there are goodwill components to the transactions and banks just aren't comfortable lending, you know, a certain amount of money. It's usually up around, you know, $1 to $2 million and above if there's no tangible collateral in the deal. So, you know, the SBA limit is up to $5 million. We try to be as aggressive as we can with those type of deals, and we have done some, you know, pretty large unsecured business acquisition deals where the cash flow was significant to support the debt. So other than that, maybe you want to open up to questions or anything to add?
I have a couple. I have a lot to add, but then we could definitely do questions. When you say, and a lot of these questions I'm going to ask, you know, because a lot of the reps we have on the phone are newer, But when you, I know obviously when me and you met, this was something you stressed on. When you say D credit lender, and did I get that right? I may have got the wrong letter.
Right,
but
D credit, yeah.
D credit,
we're not
all A students.
Right.
So, but can you explain what you mean by D credit? Because, you know, most SBA lenders are going to want, you know, most bank deals, a borrower really should have 680 or higher FICO. But can you explain what D credit means? And kind of that really makes you guys unique.
We're not a credit score lender. Now, if you have somebody that is, you know, a 500 and they're just habitually late with everything, that's really not our deal. But when I say B credit, I mean that there's something that is materially wrong with the credit where a bank just isn't interested. It could be they've had a tough couple years from a cash flow standpoint. And, you know, this year, 2017 or 2016 through August, you know, they've really turned it around. They're profitable. The deal cash flows. That's a deal we would give consideration to if there's good collateral. A lot of banks are going to want to say, let's wait till the year's over, get a full year of results, and then we'll do the deal. Well, the borrower doesn't need the money 6 months, a year from now when their 2016 numbers are finished. They need the money now.
That's the problem we run into. A lot of these borrowers need money now, and they're just missing some shortfall from, like, a traditional bank. So that would also be, like, my next question for you, too. I mean, what is the traditional shortfall you see where, you know, a borrower to their bank, maybe a PNC or Wells Fargo or whoever it is, and that bank just couldn't help them, and then they've somehow come into your space and you are able to help them?
Well, it varies on the deal. Like, you know, a lot of your bigger banks won't do a projection-based loan at all.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an example, we have a deal for, you know, a company that's a pretty successful restaurant. They lease space in a strip center, and the space next door to them has become available, and they want to expand into it. They're pretty much going to double their space. They're going to add tables and, you know, obviously add revenue to their operation. But their existing bank, which is one of the large money center banks, as I call them, they're not interested because the deal does not cash flow on the historic numbers. But, you know, from a common sense standpoint, well, it wouldn't cash flow. If a company's going to double their space, they're going to obviously add sales and ultimately net income to the bottom line to be able to service the additional debt. It all depends on a bank's credit appetite for deals, even with their SBA credit policy. Every bank's different. So we try to be, as I said before, just common sense lenders. Does the deal make good common sense? Does it make good business sense? Can this borrower pay it back at the end of the day? And that's really how we base our decisions when we look at deals. All of our deals are missing something, either cash flow, collateral. There could be some credit issues from, you know, somebody may have gotten sick. There may be a divorce in the not-too-distant past. And it's just going to – it doesn't allow the business to check all the boxes that many times at the larger banks today you have to be able to check in order to get credit approved. We try to eliminate that and just look at it, you know, does the deal make good common sense, and are they good borrowers?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Phil. So as opposed to, obviously we know most SBA lenders do an SBA 7A or an SBA 504, can you go over which program you guys predominantly offer and kind of the highlights of that program, like what can it be used for, stuff like that?
Sure. 95% of what we do are SBA 7A term loans. So that is typically used for owner-occupied real estate purchase or refinance, debt refinance, business acquisitions, or equipment finance. Some of the advantages to that program are, you know, for real estate, you typically can do deals with, you know, 10% down, sometimes less, you know, where a traditional bank is going to want, you know, 20-25% into the deal for a conventional type loan, which is a lot of down payment money for many borrowers, especially if they're not A credits, to be able to to come up with to put down on the real estate plus closing costs. As far as the terms go, SBA for non-real estate purposes, our product, you can do terms up to 10 years, typically, sometimes longer, for depending upon what the actual assets are or what the use of the money was being, or what the use of, I guess, the best way to say this was SBA term is dictated by use of proceeds, not so much collateral, and in many cases for equipment-type deals or working capital situations where there may not be any collateral, you can get terms of up to 10 years where traditional banks would maybe give you 5, 7 if you're lucky. So improves the cash flow for the customer by having a longer term. We offer lines of credit for companies that need a term loan. We don't offer lines of credit as isolated products. There has to be a term piece with that, and we can go up to $350,000 on that. So gives them a little bit of extra working capital.
Okay. Actually, I had a quick question for you. We do a lot of borrowers, most of the borrowers that approach us are most of the time not bankable, and that's why we love your programs, because at least, like you said, you're looking at it from a different perspective. It's not just
right. They
haven't hit every single checkbox and we're not even going to consider it. With Charlene, I mean, that was the case. Her FICO was messed up,
right. But
you still considered it. So, but we have a lot of borrowers that approach us, and they actually, are in an owner-occupied property. It's an office building or whatever it is. And the way the borrower is terming it is, hey, I need to, refi cash out. I need working capital. I need this to pay my employees and stuff. So a lot of times, we could definitely take them to, a stated lender, a bank alternate lender, a Velocity, an Apex, or something that will do the cash out. But if they have decent FICO, in my head, I'm always wondering sometimes, is there a way to structure that with the SBA? Is there a way to get them, instead of calling it cash out, because it's just our world, is there a way to get them working capital? And how do they prove what they're going to use that working capital for to where a lender like you would be okay with that?
Well, now, let me just backtrack a second. You said investment or owner-occupied real estate?
It's an owner-occupied real estate.
Okay.
So say it's, a CPA in an office building, and they own the office building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just straight cash out is very tough for us with SBA because you always have to have a designated use for the proceeds. Now, if you're just talking about, if it's less than 10% of the loan amount, we're usually okay with, giving them that money as straight cash out working capital. Use it for your business as you see fit. Once you get above that 10% mark, we kind of want to know, all right, what do you plan to use this money for? Because that's a lot of just walking around money, as we call it, without having a designated, I need to make improvements, or I need to buy some equipment, or I need to hire 2 people. This is what it's going to cost me. So that as long as there's a designated business use that can be documented, that makes sense. A lot of times, we're okay with giving them the additional working capital.
Okay, yeah. So basically I'm just saying as long as they can prove what they want to use that money for, if it makes sense, we can maybe try to get them that working capital, if they need to maybe hire more employees to expand, or what are some other common uses why companies need working capital that you see?
It all varies. I mean, most of it is for some kind of expansion or some kind of real estate improvements. A lot of companies, they want it just to have it because, as I tell everybody, you can't go to the well when you're thirsty. When you need the money most of all, nobody's going to give it to you. So you're better off, trying to get it when you do your next deal. For situations like that where clients just aren't sure what they want the money for or what they need it for, we just try to throw in an express line for them as additional short-term working capital. That way it's there if they need it. They're only paying interest on what they use. You can get up to 7-year terms on the line of credits all in. So it's a good secondary product for that, and you can do up to $350,000. So that usually takes care of most of our clients, you know, the size of their business needs for the working capital component.
Mm-hmm. All right, Phil. What I'm going to do real quick is I'm just going to open it up real quick to see if the reps have any questions for you. I think I asked you everything. All right, guys, everyone's unmuted. So if anyone has any questions about, 44 Business Capital, SBA loans in general, uses of funds, you know, please throw any questions you can at us. Does anyone have any questions at all for Phil? At all? Sometimes no one asks any questions, Phil. People get a little shy, but
No, that's okay. You know, I know it's an exciting topic, and you know everybody loves SBA lending. But you know, just one of the things I can add real quick. You know, some of the things that are just non-starters for us that you guys, your business may come across, are you know. You can't do investment real estate. You can't do nonprofits. You can't do anything that has a religious or political affiliation. It all has to be, you know, for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It definitely has to be a for-profit business. Anything that involves refinancing federal debts that are delinquent, like student loans or quite frankly, anybody that is delinquent on a federal loan or if they've ever had an SBA loan that went delinquent, that's a non-starter as far as getting a new SBA loan. Anything that's federal taxes is a non-starter for SBA. Can't use SBA loans to pay off federal tax liabilities. And for us as a lender, really, you know, any taxes are federal is definitely a non-starter. State, local, real estate, we're going to have a pretty good story as to why, you know, the taxes were delinquent if we're going to pay them with our loan proceeds.
Yeah. So another thing, yeah, we'll just probably want to mention too, because we get approached by this a lot. We'll have borrowers that may have had like a BK, a chapter, you know, 11, 13, or maybe a short sale or something in their past. And I know there's no real, I don't know, do you guys actually have a real rule in the years before you touch them? Or most
it's
of the time,
no.
If
it happened last year, it's going to be tough. But if it happened, you know, several years ago and, you know, it was, if the story was, you know, a good story, we can consider those types of clients. You know, obviously it's not the ideal situation, but we have done some loans for people that have filed in years past, and the story was, you know, reasonable.
Yeah, one thing I want to mention real quick, too, guys, for everyone on the phone is you may get borrowers, and I actually have a borrower right now, Phil, that may be a borrower of yours in the future. He actually is in the middle of a Chapter 11. I actually got him a hard money loan, which is a miracle because most hard money lenders these days will not even lend to somebody if they're in a, you know, 11 or 13 or something.
Right.
But I keep explaining to him he needs to get it dismissed. I keep explaining to his lawyer, too, it's not dismissed. Mm-hmm. He's in it, you know. So, I mean, a lender's not going to look at that, you know, say the requirement is they can't have a situation like that for 2 years. That two-year timeline is not going to start ticking until it's dismissed.
Right.
I'm sure it works with you guys like that as well, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, as long as it's dismissed, that's the big thing. Obviously, the more time that goes by, the better. But we don't have it. You know, it has to be 2 years or 3 years or 5 years since the BK was dismissed. We do not have a rule like that.
It just obviously has to be dismissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep trying to explain that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so honestly, that's really it. I think you did a great job of going over your programs, what SBA loans are used for. Obviously, these are, you know, loans for small business owners, so the leverage that you guys offer compared to a conventional loan is great. You know, we don't really do anything conventional because it's just a lot of down money. Most small business owners that we get, you know, we always explain to them if they are in a property type you know, either to refinance a purchase that is 51% owner occupied, you know, we can try to go for an SBA loan for them.
Right. And our maximum rate is prime plus 275.
Mm-hmm.
So as of today, that's 6.25%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a floating rate. You know, fees are what they are with SBA. Typically, it's about 3% of the guaranteed portion of the loan. But we look to give additional working capital for closing costs in our deals, which makes that a little bit less painful.
Yeah. Can you just explain real quick, and we'll let you go, I promise. On the 51% owner-occupied, obviously it has to be an owner-occupied property, but a lot of borrowers will throw scenarios at me like, you know, does it matter if I rent the other 49% out to, you know, another company, or how is the lender going to come and verify that I am occupying 51%? And I just tell them, don't worry, they're going to verify it. But what are you guys
doing?
Well,
usually how that's verified, two ways. I mean, it's, you know, we do site visits on all of the deals that we do. Somebody
mm-hmm.
from our company actually looks at the real estate, checks it out, makes sure the business is there and is what it is. I mean, we don't really break out the measuring tape at that time and, you know, break down the square footage.
Mm-hmm.
However, when the property's appraised, that's usually when that would come out to the forefront, and you would, if you had an issue, you would know about it at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Phil, I'm just going to see real quick if anyone has any more questions for you. Guys, does anyone have any questions for Phil about SBA loans at all? No? Okay. Well, honestly, Phil, thank you so much for being on the call. Again, if we get any SBA loans, you know we will send them your way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's like I tell everybody, it's a two-minute phone conversation to let you know quickly yes, no, or, you know, it has potential if, you know, these things happen. So, you know, we certainly appreciate everyone keeping me in mind, and, you know, we enjoyed dealing with Meg in the past, and look forward to working a few deals with you.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask you one more quick question. I mean, this is
sure.
a good origination tip to originate some more deals for you. You know, typically, you know, for SBA loans, most SBA lenders are going to like, you know, seasoned professionals. But can you maybe give them some tips on what type of business professionals they would want to be connecting with for SBA loans, or, you know, the types of individuals you're obviously looking to lend to?
Yeah, I mean, it would vary. Now, I mean, most of your reps are in different markets throughout the country, correct?
All throughout the United States. Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, I mean, bankers have always been good sources for loan brokers that, you know, are looking for business because, you know, we have about close to a $300 million portfolio, and every so often we survey our client base and we ask them, who do you go to when you need money? It was overwhelming, like 80-some% said that they go to their banker. So if they have a mm-hmm. relationship with a commercial lender
mm-hmm.
at their local bank, they're
okay.
the one that they're going to first. So, you know, if I were in your business, I would definitely network with bankers, you know, for some of the tougher deals. Bank workout people
mm-hmm.
could be good sources for business. You know, accountants, attorneys can be sources. You know, a lot of times people don't go to the attorney until their back's really against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you know, at least for us in our product, it may be a little too late to help them. Not always, but, you know, it's not ideal. But, you know, bankers, commercial real estate brokers, as far as SBA product goes, it's very attractive because we see it a lot in the market I focus, which is pretty much Philadelphia, South Jersey, Delaware. You know, the commercial real estate is pretty highly priced. And to buy a commercial building, if you're looking to grow, expand, or even if you rent and you're looking to buy, it's pretty, you know, a lot of these properties are worth $2, $3 million. And it's a tremendous amount of cash that a small business would have to sacrifice in order to put 20, 25% down to buy the building, then on top of that, pay all their closing costs. You know, for us, with the SBA 7A product, we can do, you know, 90%, sometimes even less, of the total project cost. I just did a deal back in June for a business that was buying the property that they leased. It was essentially a rent swap, meaning that his monthly rental payment was about the same as he was going to pay us for a 25-year SBA loan. The problem was is that his business was growing so fast, all of his money kept going into the business, and he didn't have a lot of down payment money. So yeah. We actually did that deal. It wound up he was like 4.5% cash into the deal out of pocket on a $3 million transaction. So when commercial realtors hear that, that gets their attention because they're looking to – they get paid by selling property.
Yeah, I tell the reps that all the time to network with, you know, realtors and obviously commercial real estate brokers as well. Right. But in terms of, like, the borrowers that you like to lend to, like, most of the originating we do, and thanks to that, we do target accountants, lawyers. You know, sometimes I have the reps, you know, target bankers. You know, if there is a bank and they do SBA loans already, you know, the borrower may have went there already, but some banks don't do SBA loans or, you know, they're just
right. –
They don't have like a direct preferred division. They'll try to refer them out, so it's still a good referral for them. But the borrowers that they may want to bring, you know, to me to bring to you, probably you guys are looking to lend more to like seasoned professionals, like someone that you know has owned their own practice for some time, like a CPA, a doctor, other small business owners.
We do various, if I understand where you're going with the question, are you talking like what types of industries we like to lend to or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We really don't have a focus that we you know, just do medical or we just do professional. We try to do it all. You know, we have, you know, veterinarian practices. We have doctor practices. We have manufacturers, we have distribution companies, we have restaurants, we have, you know, all kinds of hospitality. It's really a pretty diverse group of clients that make up our portfolio. Mm-hmm. We don't focus on any one specific industry.
Okay.
The good thing about our product is 95% of all companies in America are eligible for the SBA 7A product.
Okay.
So there's really no businesses that we, you know, shy away from as far as we just don't do them, period.
Okay, no, we just wanted to know real quick, just in case we came across, like, a business line that maybe it's just, you know, not something that 44 does. So, so thank you so much again for the information and for taking the time to be on our call. Guys, if anyone has any questions you didn't think of, you can always shoot them to me. I'll answer them. And again, Phil, we're going to let you go so you can get back to work. But just wanted to thank you so much for being on the call.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks so much, Phil. Have a great day.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.